banking.
Munduvila joins calls to suspend training of newly recruited police officers. House of Chiefs welcomes salary increase for traditional leaders. In global news, Malawi's former finance minister arrested on charges of corruption and abuse of office. Good evening and welcome to the Phoenix FM Main News. My name is Constance Mwezi Namwinga. Tonse Alliance President Brian Munduvile has expressed serious concern over the recent secret recruitment of more than 3,000 police officers, calling for the immediate suspension of the exercise. Mr. Munduvile says a recruitment process of such magnitude should have been publicly advertised, noting that the development raises questions about transparency and accountability within the Zambia Police Service. He pointed out that reports of the recruitment had previously been denied, making it concerning that training for the officers is now reportedly underway. Mr. Munduvile stated that the timing of the exercise ahead of the 2026 general elections has heightened public concern, adding that the lack of transparency leaves uncertainty about the nature of instructions being given to the recruits. He further referenced recent incidents involving police conduct, including an occurrence at the Anti-Corruption Commission offices where some... He further referenced recent incidents involving police conduct, including an occurrence at the Anti-Corruption Commission offices where some officers were allegedly seen acting unprofessionally and concealing their identities while handling members of the public.
The police service must be further reminded that those recruits are being trained using taxpayers' money, public funds. As such, opportunities such as the recruitment of the police must be open to all. In Tonse, we undertake to provide opportunities for all. Opportunities of recruitment should not be for the privileged. Otherwise, how would the grandson or granddaughter of Nakulumuti Ntapankasa ever get employed?
The House of Chiefs has expressed gratitude to government for the upward adjustment of salaries for traditional leaders across the country, describing the move as a significant step towards improving the welfare and dignity of chiefs. House of Chiefs Chairperson Chief Chongo has confirmed that chiefs in all the 186 chiefdoms have received the salary increment, which took effect in March this year, with adjustments including 2 months' arrears. Chief Chongo has further commended government for extending the salary increments to chief retainers, noting that their earnings have been increased by more than 100%. He says this move is expected to enhance service delivery within chiefdoms and improve the livelihoods of those supporting traditional leadership. Chief Chongo has also thanked government for the distribution of motorbikes to chief retainers, a measure aimed at improving mobility and efficiency in executing their duties through the Constituency Development Fund, CDF.
Starting January 2026, all chiefs in Zambia got their new subsidy increased in March, month end of March, with the two arrears, that is for January and February. We are so grateful because it will go a long way in helping chiefs run the day-to-day businesses of the palaces. There are a lot of things that the chiefs do in these palaces. We have some chiefs have to pay water bills, some chiefs have to pay electricity bills, stationery for the palace, and just many other chores that the chief has to deal with.
Over 6,000 women working in climate-smart agriculture businesses are set to benefit from the Greenovations Africa 2 project organized by the Women Entrepreneurship Access Center, WEAC. Speaking on the sidelines of the official opening of the Greenovation Workshop in Lusaka this afternoon, WEAC Greenovations Africa 2 coordinator, Kapocha Mwale, said the initiative aims to bridge critical gaps by recognizing women's environmental and caregiving contributions, reducing unpaid care work, and improving access to climate finance tools and support. Mr. Male noted that emerging challenges such as restricted access to climate finance calls for inclusive, gender-responsive and care-aware solutions. He emphasized the need to bridge the disconnect between global climate finance frameworks and the realities of local women's climate action.
As you may already be aware, the aspect of climate care as well as the women involvement in entrepreneurship is quite cardinal, especially if you look at what is prevailing in our country at the moment, where now the realities of climate change are upon us. So we have to make sure that there are people who look into lessening the care burden for the women, so that ultimately if the care burden is reduced, SMEs, whether they are from the aspect of the green or any other enterprise, you'll find that they need support. As WEAC, we have over 6,000 women that we are working with, including those that are in the climate space.
Meanwhile, Ministry of Green Economy and Environment Principal Green Economy Officer for Business Development, Gambwe Sikatongwe, has reaffirmed government's commitment to promoting inclusivity in driving climate change action among women in the country.
As a ministry, we have also recognized that it's very, very much important. Women, disabled, and also children, youth, they are all equally important also to have access to climate finance. You know, when we are dealing issues around climate finance, we are trying to change the way we live. We change the way we do business. We change the way we see things. And in that process, there is quite a requirement of the new innovations, new interventions, new ideas. And these ideas, they go with the finance. They need cost. And probably it could be one of the reasons why there is this barrier in terms of adopting to these technologies.
Government has described the construction of the new Civic Center office block in Kaluluhsi District as the beginning of a new chapter in local government and public service delivery. Speaking at the official opening of the 7 million kwacha new Civic Center office block at Kaluluhsi Municipal Council in Kaluluhsi today, Kopperbol Provincial Minister Elisha Matambo said the development is a major step towards improving institutional efficiency and enhancing service delivery for residents. Mr. Matambo has commended the council for the achievement, noting that the project reflects prudent financial management, strategic planning and visionary leadership. He said the council's ability to mobilize local resources and successfully complete the project has been highlighted as a model for other local authorities, urging the remaining 9 councils in the province to emulate what Kaluluhsi Municipal has done.
I'm particularly pleased because this project demonstrates that local authorities can indeed be agents of transformation when they are focused, disciplined, and people-centered. I therefore wish to appeal to all local authorities across Kopperbelt province to emulate the example set by Kaluluhsi Municipal Council. We have about 10 councils. You should emulate Kaluluhsi Council that they can generate funds and come up with winning projects.
And speaking earlier, Kaluluhsi Mayor Dawoodi Simama disclosed that the council was invested in enhancing service delivery by procuring vehicles for all departments and acquiring key equipment using locally generated resources, resulting in the implementation of 79 capital projects between 2020 and 2025.
From our locally generated funds, we managed to buy the yellow machines. So the CDF money is all taken into community development. And so far, since 2022 up to the date, we have done 79 capital projects. This is worth commending, and you can give it a big hand. Honorable Minister, may I further report to you to say that this council, during the current Parliamentary Accounts Committee, which we had let us 2 months ago, went query free, meaning that This council is doing a greater job. I recall